One of the symbols that early Christians used as a symbol of the church was a boat. Now, the reason for that symbol, or the roots of that symbol, come out of our reading today, but they also come out of the story of Noah and the ark. Let me talk about Noah first. You know, Noah and the ark is the story of Noah's family being saved from the floods by riding in this large ark. Well, the early church kind of saw that all of those who had been reborn into Christ Jesus were, in a sense, in the boat, in the ark. And they were being saved by those life-giving waters of baptism. And of course, the expectation was that one day they would arrive at the other shore, and that would be the kingdom of heaven. And then they would know life and light for all eternity. And it was the boat, the church, that became the means that carried them across those waters. In the gospel today, we have a story of faith, of doubt, and then again, of faith. You know, when Peter says to Jesus, "Ask me to come to you over the waters," there was no doubt in his mind that Jesus could do that. He had great confidence in the divine power of Jesus to enable him to walk over those waters. But then he took his focus off of Jesus, and he began to focus on the strength of those winds. And when he saw how strong the wind was, doubt began to creep into his thinking, and he begins to sink. But notice what he does. He doesn't all of a sudden start swimming. He doesn't turn around and see if he could reach back to that boat. But he calls out to the Savior, "Lord, save me." There was faith there. More faith in the Christ than there was in his own ability to save himself. For that reason, I say it's a story of faith, of doubt, but of faith. Now, the early church, going back to that image of boat, they kind of saw that story as symbolic of the church, of all the believers in Christ Jesus. We are in the boat of the church. And there are strong winds that often oppress us, that try to stop us from getting to that other shore. And the winds can be many. For the Christians, it was the persecutions. It was a pagan world that had a whole different set of beliefs. It was the lure of the same things we struggle with today. The lure of success, the lure of money, the lure of prestige, of wealth. All of those winds tend to attack us at times. One time one wind, one time another. And yet the solution is the same as it was for Peter. Keep your eye on the Savior. Don't get focused on the winds that oppress us, that stand in our way. But keep our focus on the Savior. Now, to move into another image, it is His church. He is building the church. And we need to focus not on all the things that oppress us, but of the one that is doing the work, that is gathering us together, the one that is bringing us to that other shore. Now I want to go to the first reading, old Elijah. Just give you a little bit of setting of that reading. Some of you will remember the story of Elijah where he has this confrontation with the God or the prophets of the God Baal. Remember the story? There's 400 of those prophets, and Elijah's the only remaining prophet of the Lord. And so he says to them, I got an idea. You all, let's build each of us an altar of sacrifice. And let's slaughter an animal, and we'll each one put it on our altar. And then we'll call upon our God to see who will light the fire. Well, of course, it's a funny story, because these 400 prophets are, they're praying and they're dancing and they're slashing themselves with knives so the blood's flowing over them. And then Elijah is taunting them. He says, call louder. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's on a journey. And of course, nothing happens. And so finally Elijah says, okay, let's turn to my altar. And he says, let's soak the water or the wood with water first. So three times they pour water over the sacrifice and over the wood. And he digs a trench around it, and the trench gets filled with water. And then he utters a simple prayer. And a bolt of lightning comes, consumes the animal, consumes the wood and the stone, laps up all the water. And then Elijah puts the prophets, those false prophets, to the sword. Well, after that, Jezebel, the queen, was not pleased because she was promoting the worship of the false gods. And so she sends the army after him. And Elijah is running. And in where we pick up the story today, he's gotten to Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, it's the same. He found a cave to hide in. And the Lord tells him, I will be passing by. But notice where he encounters the Lord. It wasn't in all the forces of nature. It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It was in the still, quiet voice. Now, what is the teaching there for us? That if we are going to encounter the Lord, you and I have to learn to recognize the small, quiet voice of God speaking within us. And in order to do that, you and I need times of quiet. We need times of silence. We need times we can hear the gentle voice of our God. Our God is not going to force us to follow him. He invites us. He will not force us because he wants our obedience, not out of fear, but out of love. And so he speaks to us in the quiet of our lives. He speaks to us in the very ordinary things that go on day to day in our existence. But we have to be ready to hear him, to listen to him. In a world that right now does not value silence, we need to learn to be a people that look for silence at times. We need to turn off all the noisemakers in our lives, our cell phones, our iPads and iPods, our televisions, our computers. We need to, those things aren't bad. We can use them very well. But we also need to learn to say no to them so that we can have time to hear the voice of our God. How else, going back to the first story, how else can we focus on the Savior if we do not learn to recognize his voice? We must learn to hear the voice of our God so that we can keep our eyes focused on him as we journey over the waters of baptism and move to that other shore, where we will know eternal life forever in the kingdom of our God.